CD 7.
Chapter 13. Land Under Wave. The Queen walked over the turf towards Tiffany. Where she'd trodden, frost gleamed for a moment. The little part of Tiffany that was still thinking thought, "That grass will be dead in the morning. She's killing my turf."
"The whole of life is but a dream when you come to think of it," said the Queen in the same infuriatingly calm, pleasant voice. She sat down on the fallen stones. "You humans are such dreamers. You dream that you're clever. You dream that you're important. You dream that you're special. You know, you're almost better than drones. You're certainly more imaginative, I have to thank you."
"What for?" said Tiffany, looking at her boots. Terror clamped her body in red-hot wires. There wasn't anywhere to run to.
"I never realised how wonderful your world is," said the Queen. "I mean, the drones, well, they're not much more than a kind of walking sponge, really. Their world is ancient. It's nearly dead. They're not really creative any more. With a little help from me, your people could be a lot better. Because, you see, you dream all the time. You especially dream all the time. Your picture of the world is a landscape with you in the middle of it, isn't it? Wonderful. Look at you, in that rather horrible dress and those clumpy boots. You dreamed you could invade my world with a frying pan. You had this dream about brave girl rescuing little brother. You thought you were the heroine of a story. And then you left him behind. You know, I think being hit by a billion tons of seawater must be like having a mountain of iron drop on your head, don't you?"
Tiffany couldn't think. Her head was full of hot, pink fog. It hadn't worked. Her third thoughts were somewhere in the fog, trying to make themselves heard. "Got Roland out," she muttered, still staring at her boots.
"But he's not yours," said the Queen. "He is, let us face it, a rather stupid boy with a big red face and brains made of pork, just like his father. You left your little brother behind with a bunch of little thieves, and you rescued a spoiled little fool."
"There was no time," shrieked the third thoughts. "You wouldn't have got to him and got back to the lighthouse. You nearly didn't get away as it was. You got Roland out. That was the logical thing to do. You don't have to be guilty about it. What's better, to try to save your brother and be brave, courageous, stupid and dead? Or save the boy and be brave, courageous, sensible and alive?" But something kept saying that stupid and dead would have been more right. Something kept saying, "Would you say to Mum that you could see there wasn't time to rescue your brother, so you rescued someone else instead? Would she be pleased that you'd worked that out? Being right doesn't always work." "It's the Queen," yelled the third thoughts. "It's her voice. It's like hypnotism. You've got to stop listening."
"I expect it's not your fault you're so cold and heartless," said the Queen. "It's probably all to do with your parents. They probably never gave you enough time. And having Wentworth was a very cruel thing to do. They really should have been more careful. And they let you read too many words. It can't be good for a young brain, knowing words like paradigm and eschatological. It leads to behaviour, such as using your own brother as monster bait."
The Queen sighed.
"Sadly, that kind of thing happens all the time. I think you should be proud of not being worse than just deeply introverted and socially maladjusted."
She walked around Tiffany.
"It's so sad," she continued. "You dream that you are strong, sensible, logical, the kind of person who always has a bit of string. But that's just your excuse for not being really properly human. You're just a brain, no heart at all. You didn't even cry when Granny Aching died. You think too much, and now your precious thinking has let you down. Well, I think it's best if I just kill you, don't you?"
"Find a stone," the third thought screamed.